Okay, folks, welcome back to the Dan Time Podcast. I am your host, Dan McArdle. If it's your first time, you're in for a ride. At Dan Time Pod on Instagram, Facebook, Dan Time Pod on X. Okay, what an interesting diversion last week from the usual Dan Time guest, my own younger brother, Travis. What can I say? If you missed it, well, you really need to ask yourself, what am I doing missing an episode? What got in the way? What was more important than Dan Time? Because something clearly was for you. And anyway, you thought we were done. You thought, okay, Dan's just doing something a little different here. Back to business, back to the Dans. Nope, not just yet. The theme continues. You know, and people tell me, hey, I'd love to come on the show, but Dan, my name is not Dan. Listen, the sweet spot, as you might say, is me talking to other Dans, or what I like to call the family of Dan names. But folks with different names are always welcome. In fact, encouraged. Especially if you know me, or you've got a Dan or Danielle story along those lines. Because once you land on the show, it is your time. Now, as I'm already doing, I'm working on this. I think I take up a little too much oxygen on this show. Yes, I'm the host, but I'm doing some self-improvement, trying to hang back a little more. It's the guest time each week, and this week, it is Trey Williams time. What other podcast on the planet is having back-to-back guests with the first five letters of their given names? Trey, given name Travian, is T-R-A-V-I. The answer is zero, except for this show. So you're in the right place, the only place where this phenomenon is happening. Okay, going on way too long here. Trey, my friend, my guest today, United States Marine Corps veteran, UAB graduate, a former Ramsey Ram, husband, father, jokester, distinguished gentleman. And Trey, please do not laugh, because I mean this in all seriousness. Easily one of the most handsome guys on earth. I don't know how People Magazine snoozes on this guy year after year. If they only knew Trey Williams the way that we know him. Trey, thank you so much for carving out some time in your day for the Dan Time Podcast. Here you are. It's your time. How you doing, my friend? Yes.
I'm good, man. First of all, I want to thank you for the intro. I need to just, like, you know, actually record that one excerpt and just carry it around when people ask me about myself, and just play it for them. Like, this is me. Just listen. I think that would be a great intro for myself, especially when I have to go speak to different people.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm telling you, people, if you've seen Trey all dressed up, just seen him in a nice jacket one time in your life with that gleam in his eye, you're just going to fall to pieces. Male or female, it does not matter. I have no problem complimenting a fellow gentleman here, but I miss
my wife. She might be getting jealous. Where's she at? No, she's not here. I really appreciate it, there, man. I'm glad you have me on the show, man. This is my first podcast interview. I've done some in my past, like on the radio station and stuff like that, but I've never done a podcast before. It was an interesting time when you asked me about coming on the show, because me and my wife had just talked about, you know, trying some podcast stuff with some friends, and I told her, you reached out to me, she said, there you go, you should try it out, you know, maybe this is a sign, so we'll see how it goes.
I couldn't wait. Once, you know, and the Travis situation took so long, when I finally got him on the show, I thought, you know, let's kind of keep this going. As people who've been listening, as you know, this show is made possible through a variety of guests, so it's the songwriters, it's the athletes, it's the people out in left field and around the world. But, you know, also have to tap into the network. I think it makes it interesting here. And I just thought, Trey, why? I haven't thought about Trey. Well, I think about you more than I should. no, I'm kidding. But I reached out to you, and luckily you said, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
What's been going on here lately? Go ahead.
Before I was just thinking about you saying the play of the same five letters, the T-R-A-V-I. Actually, my dad's name is Travis, then my baby brother's name is Travis Jr. I was just thinking if you did, maybe later on want to continue with the TRAVI. My baby brother, he's a well-known musician in the I would say Christian music world. He's got 133,000 followers online on just on his Instagram. And he's always traveling to different countries to play and do different things. I think he'd be an interesting one if you wanted to continue this trend. I can reach out to him. I'm sure he won't have a problem doing it. Just putting that out there in the
Oh,
universe.
100%. Travis
I'll send you
Williams.
his page too. That's Travis Dykes, DYKES.
Wow, I love it. Some of my favorite guests on the show are people who are creating music, and if he's up for it, I'm already, you've piqued my
Oh yeah.
interest.
He loves this type of stuff. He's been doing it for a while. He's actually teaches guitar lessons online, and he does one-on-one. That's where he makes most of his money. He's so popular now. It's the first time I've ever seen a guitar player have people with the big fat heads in the crowd cheering for him. I was
Yes.
like, okay. I still see my little brother, but everybody else is just some type of guitar star, so I get it now.
Now, what is that like when you got a sibling, and maybe people listening to the show have a brother, a sister, maybe a cousin, and they are just like, to other people, they are a huge deal. And to you, it's like, well, that's just my brother. How is it when you guys get
Yeah.
together?
When we get together, I think he tries to show me that he's more mature now, but I still treat him like a little brother, so I keep him kind of down to earth. Because I know sometimes he goes live, and he'll have people on there. Oh my God, it sounds so good! I can't believe you let us, watch this practice and blah blah blah. And I'll throw something out there from my childhood, and you see him trying not to smile and laugh at it. But that I just know, that we still have that bond that I can do that with him, and he can, not be so professional all the time. He can relax. I know he has an image he probably wants to uphold, and I want him to be himself all the time, so.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
How often do you get to hang out with them now?
Not often, you get older, families get involved, and he travels a lot. Actually, his birthday, he's a lot younger. He's our baby, so he just turned 30 end of the month last month, and he came down with his wife, and they came down, we met at my parents' house, and we just kind of ate, sat around, chilled, and talked. And I hadn't seen him before that since probably last year. I probably see him once, maybe twice a year, depending on what's going on.
Man, Trey, remember when
Because I travel up.
you remember when we
Oh, go ahead.
turned
I'm
30?
sorry.
When you went from 29 to 30, did you feel old?
I don't know. He asked us, my brother asked us the same thing. He asked all the siblings, like, how did you feel when you turned 30? What did you do? And we all had our stories. Mine was, I actually felt like I was more mature because I was leaving Alabama for my first time on my own instead of with the military. I was leaving to go follow a job in Vegas. So I went to go live in Vegas when I turned 30. So my 30th birthday, I had a little party dinner. And then the next day, I was driving to Vegas and moving my stuff into my new place, which is an exciting time in my life. But I did feel, like I've accomplished something in life. So I felt like, I was moving in the right direction as far as my life goals were concerned. So I did feel like I was getting older.
Man, tell me about those years when you graduate high school. Maybe we'll go back a little bit to your old playing days as a high school athlete, but joining the Marine Corps at that time, what did that do for you, and how do you reflect back on that time?
So I will say this. People always ask me, would you do it over again? Like go back to the Marine Corps, or would you choose a different service? I would do it all over again, even though I hated it just as much as I loved it. It gave me a base, like for everything I do now. Like I have a structure. I'm more disciplined with a lot of things, more organized with a lot of stuff. And I don't know if that's with every branch. I just know the Marine Corps is very strict on that stuff because, when you're in war, you got to have everything prepared for everything. So I think the military is probably, it probably changed my whole life because I wasn't going to go at first. I was against it. And I actually had a scholarship. I won a writing scholarship to college. And I had a scholarship. And, being out of high school, I went straight to college out of my, out of high school when I graduated. I didn't take summer off or anything. The next month I was in college. I was working college going full time, and it was just too much for me. And then I said, oh, I'm doing the military. This is an easy way out. But in my mind, I was stuck on doing the Marine Corps, and I'm glad I was. For some reason, it was calling to me. So I went. My parents hated me for doing it. My mom cried. My dad kept my birth certificate so I could leave, but he finally gave it to me. And when I got out of boot camp, the look of pride on my parents' face, especially my dad, and the respect they gave me just for, completing it was like any other feeling I've ever had until that point, I think that sense of pride and respect is how, I kind of live my life. It's like I want to respect people the way I want to be respected. So, and I got that from from going to boot camp and going and living my life in the Marine Corps for a little while.
I'll tell you
And
when.
so anytime I make a decision, I kind of reflect on, little things like if I'm showing somebody how to do something, I'm like, always pay attention to the details. Don't worry about the big thing. Worry about the small stuff first and everything comes together. That's kind of a idea we had in the military too, is details matter.
Yeah, when you get around a Marine Corps veteran, sometimes you don't have to know right away. You just there's a presence that this individual gives off that they've been somewhere, they've experienced something, they've learned, like you said, about making good decisions and the structure that that branch teaches you. And how was it the adjustment when you were transitioning back to civilian life?
Oh man, transition life. So they actually have a program where they call it it's not called transitioning, but they do have a thing where they transition you back from military to civilian life is what they call it. It's probably like it's less than a couple weeks maybe. It really doesn't do anything for you but tell you how to do write resumes and how to look for jobs and stuff like that. But the transition back wasn't too bad for me because when I left, I was working at a hospital in physical therapy as a PT tech. And when I came back, because I left on a leave of absence, they just gave me my position back. So that made my transition a little bit better. I wasn't really searching for a job. I had something kind of waiting for me. They gave me a pay increase based on me being there. If I had a pay, based on me taking leave of absence, they had to pay me for those years I wasn't there, and then I came back as if I was there the whole time. So that helped out as well. But I think the hard part was the social aspect. Being with people I mean, I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years. Some of those guys you go to boot camp with 13 weeks and you're there with them every second of your life, which I've had friends I grew up with, but some of those guys on in the boot camp with, we're like best friends to this day and we don't even see each other but once every 5 years or so, it's kind of hard kind of getting back to the social life of like your friends who didn't go through with you what you went through with your friends in the military. And so sometimes they look at you like, why do you think that? Or why would you say something like that? That's a crazy way of thinking, or we don't really do that type of stuff. Just trying to maneuver my way through what too much information, what's not enough information, or what doesn't need to be said. It's kind of a hard part of transitioning back. But once I kind of figured it out, got into my groove and realized that, just be yourself. People who don't like it won't be around you. People who can stand it will, be there. So it's one of those things. You just kind of put yourself out there and hope it like you. And if they don't, you just keep moving.
I like what you said there because I've always gotten that impression from you that, hey, this is who I am, and you seem like comfortable in your own skin. I think that is lacking with a lot of people. And to some extent, it's not everybody's fault. People go through things. They've maybe got some insecurity that stems from their upbringing, or they weren't maybe taught how to handle a string of setbacks. Sometimes in your life, you can look back to 1 year. Whether it's like, man, 2019 was really tough for me. It seems like everything was going wrong. But like some people react in different ways to that. Do you feel like the Marine Corps taught you how to handle not just one setback, like, oh, I just spilled coffee on my shirt, but like eight different things happen in 1 day and you just, do you feel like you handle things differently?
Yeah, I do. Well, I feel like it. I guess the only person I compare it to is like my wife. Like something she panics about. And I'm like, well, it's no sense in panicking because you've got this list of things. Let's just look at this list and what can we do about each thing on this list? Once we figure out a solution to it, even if it's not immediate, we have a solution. There's no more reason to stress over it. You just gotta, realize that you have a solution. It's gonna take time. And don't let that take away from your energy. Because I'm real big on trying to preserve your energy. So you don't want anything to affect your energy because I feel like if you got a good energy, anything that's stressful can be not as stressful because you're protecting your own energy. So I do feel like I'm more calm in more stressful situations that most people I see are, stressed out about.
Yeah, I've never seen you. There's a level of consistency there with Trey, Mr. T, as I guess you've sometimes been referred to.
I've had a lot of names, yeah.
Hey, talking about friends, who are some longtime friends that I think I've heard of the Wolf Pack. I don't know if there's like different variations. You've got different groups. I probably haven't said it enough on this show, but for guys especially, you don't just have to have one pack of friends. Like you, it's like, yeah. It's good to have you and these three or four guys or girls, and then you and this other group, and then you and this other group. It's okay to like be a part of different groups, but who are some people, like one or two or three, that maybe you want to shout out to that's like,
man, I don't know. I have different groups I hang out with. I was thinking about, you said like the Wolfpack. When I was in high school, friends I still hang out with occasionally now, we called ourselves the Five because it was five of us. We kind of all grew up together, or at least a couple of us grew up together, and we all kind of came together in high school. Mm-hmm. Our Wolfpack was called the Five, and everybody knows the different high schools is the Five. Actually, all of them are pretty successful right now. All of them either managers or got his own shop or are high up in their company. And we're so busy with our lives, we only hang out like once or twice a year. But also have our core group that you're missing out on, Dan, because you're not up here anymore. You know, your brother Travis, Kevin McCroskey, who was on your show, Jim Powell as well. And then who else? I don't want to forget anybody.
Scott. Is Scott, Scott one of them?
Yep. Yeah, Scott comes around. So it's been kind of busy lately here. I think everybody's got stuff going on. Kids are getting older. They're getting more involved in whatever their extracurriculars are. And parents get more involved as your kids get older because their sports become more of their life than just a fun activity to do. Also, Josh, I don't know if you met Josh yet. Josh Hickman, he's one of our new friends that's been added to the group. He's moved in pretty quickly, and he just kind of fits in there with everybody. I think you'll love him when you meet him. I wouldn't be surprised if Travis tried to slide him in on the next opening for the fantasy league.
Hey, what about, so, and this is me, hopefully people can relate to this. I'm a father of three. I talk about it on the show. Mm-hmm. And there will be long, long stretches of time because I moved somewhere. I've been here 10 years now, but I had a group of friends right before I met Natalie. And I've got a professional network down here, but there are long periods of time where I'm just living the home life and the work life. And you get home and it's just you. It's just like you're just a dude dropped in the middle mm-hmm. of a little bit of chaos.
Right.
With the I'm going to get in trouble,
three young ones too.
Trouble for some of this commentary. But what would you say, like how guys can hang in there and, you know, you're holding it together. You're helping with the dishes. You're keeping the yard straight. You're spending time with your child, but you're not getting much time to hang out with your boys. And there's sometimes, I think I'm just very conditioned to it now, but.
So what are you asking me? How to cut out time for your social life, I guess.
Yeah. Or just some tray time. Like I've heard about the man cave. I've never actually seen it.
Oh yeah. Oh, have you not been down there yet? Next time you come to town, you have to check it out.
I have to. What are things that you do when it's like, all right, I got to get away. I love y'all, my wife, mm-hmm. my daughter. I understand you have a stepson, and
and a stepdaughter.
But are there times where you're like, I need some tray time. I will see y'all in a couple hours, or do you even have to announce it?
Sometimes, but it's not often. It's getting so now. Oh, all right, so I will say this. So the two oldest are in college now. So. Grayson, he's in Alabama. He's a sophomore. And then Lily is in Montevallo. She's a freshman, I'm sorry. And then we have Sophia, who's in fourth grade. And she acts like a teenager. So now it's a lot more chill. Back then, we had all the activities going on. And Jen, she coaches the dancing at Hoover High School. It was just a lot going on. I was always busy. And sometimes I would just plan trips with my company because I work for Monster Energy, and we do a lot of events. I don't have a goal on events if I got people who can work them for me, but I volunteer to put myself on events as my way to get away from everything and kind of just, you know, have my own time. Mm-hmm. That was my trick for it, was to be like, oh, I got to go work this event. You know, it's a big event. I got to be there. And so you can't argue with that because it's work. But before that, I really don't know what I did. I think I just kind of sucked it up and just stayed up late at night. You know, I would stay up later than everybody. Because everybody in my house goes to sleep by a certain time, like, 9:30, everybody's out. It's lights out here, and I kind of got the time to myself. So that was the time I kind of wait for that, or that's what I would do if I couldn't travel. But usually I just have to suck it up, grit my teeth, and bear it. That's what I usually did.
Yeah, you know, you made it through. I can't believe Your daughter Sophia is 10. I remember when you were talking about her and she's
yes.
a toddler. I'm
oh,
sure it
man.
Feels like those days have just flown by, but how did you do during the
no, they haven't.
the baby years and the diapers and the crying and all that stuff? How did you?
So I was in a very, we'll say fortunate, but an interesting predicament. So I moved back from Vegas because the recession had hit, and I was unemployed for about a year, and I worked part-time with Monster for a little while until I found myself a job. And so I was available to be at the house, and then my wife took maternity leave. So it wasn't too bad because we were able to share the brunt of it. And it wasn't like I was like, oh, I got to go to work, got to watch the baby, or she needs something to do. I was always there. So I was kind of, I guess it was a blessing in disguise. I didn't see it that way at first because nobody wants to be laid off and not have, a source of income for real, a steady source of income that you can, live off of. So I didn't see that now. But now that you're asking this question, I'm reflecting on it. I do realize that maybe it was a blessing in disguise that I was able to, just work a little part-time work here and there and still be spend a lot of time with my Sophia in her first year, of her life on Earth, So that's how I was able to cope. I had a lot of free time pretty much.
Trey, I love that, how you basically, you spun a possible negative situation into a positive, and this was a huge plus for Sophia.
Oh, yeah.
That's the biggest thing for me. I love my children, and as much as I hope I don't complain too much, but, I think dads do want to spend more time with their 18-month-old, their 2-year-old, their 3-year-old. You're dropping them off at the preschool, and you're thinking, man, I basically see these little children in the early mornings, in the evenings, in those busy hours of the bath and dinner and stuff, and then it's bedtime, and then a little bit of time on the weekends. And so there's like, I think you obviously realize, hey, this is what's going on right now. I'm going to make the most of it. And that's really special for a small child to have a lot of time with their dad at that age.
Right.
And you guys, so you were able to form that bond. What are some things that you and Sophia like to do together, and you and your wife, Jennifer, places y'all like to go?
I will say, our favorite place is probably now is the beach, which is funny because when I was growing up, we went to the beach once a year. My family made it a big thing. We stayed at one place together, bought groceries, went school shopping, and went to the beach all in 1 week. That was our one big trip every year. And I kind of hated going to the beach because I thought it was pointless to go sit outside in the hot sun and watch the water. Even when, me and Jen first started dating, we would go to the beach, and I was like, I don't get it. I want to drink, and I'm sweating out here and drinking because it's hot. It should be somewhere cool. But I don't know, somewhere along the road, it changed. And now it's our favorite thing to do. Sophie loves the sand. We can take her to the beach, and she'll play by herself in the sand for hours at a time. And we'll just sit there and watch her, or have some friends out, and So our favorite place to go is to any type of beach or travel to different theme parks. Like we go to Universal Orlando the past 3 years in a row. Actually, we went to Disney 2 years ago for our oldest graduation gift, and going again this summer. So we like going theme parks, but I think beach is our thing because every year for my birthday, we get a beach condo and just spend the whole weekend on the beach with no work phones, no nothing, just relax and enjoy the atmosphere. Now, as far as me and Sophie. Anything we do together, we have a good time, whether it's just driving to the store or she has horseback riding lessons now, and I enjoy doing that because she enjoys it. And I play trivia from time to time and stuff like that, and she likes to come around because I'm having a good time and she can enjoy it. It's kind of like I always say she's my little twin because whatever she likes to do, I like to do, and whatever I like to do, she likes to be a part of. So, yeah, and then I guess with Jen, she loves to travel, and that's something Sophie loves to do, travel and shop. I think she gets that from her mother because I wasn't really big on traveling. Maybe a little bit on shopping, but not traveling. But anything that does with travel, resorts or timeshare, like stays, we have a little timeshare or theme parks, she's all about it.
Now, I had this in my notes also. Is it true that on Halloween and maybe some other times of the year, you will get in on the costume, dress up with your daughter, and have a little fun on that end as well?
Oh, yeah.
What are some recent characters that you guys have teamed up as?
Let's see. So my birthday is on Halloween, so I've always loved Halloween, even as a kid. But as far as our recent, let me see, what did she do last? Last year I think she was Wednesday last year. Wednesday, it's become popular again from the Addams Family.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Wednesday TV show. But I can't remember what I dressed up as last year. Year before that, I know I've done Mr. T. I had a 40th birthday party. It was a skate party, and everybody, dressed up. I was Mr. T. And then I had a costume change because after the party was over, we went out to trick or treat. I was a Black Panther, and she was the Black Panther's sister in the movie, Shuri, I think is her name. So we dressed up as that
Nice.
together. We've done superheroes. She's been Wonder Woman like four or five times. She loves Wonder Woman. I've been Superman. I'm trying to think what. Oh, another good one. Me and her mother dressed up as Joker and the Harley Quinn. I have to send you that picture. It's pretty
Oh,
good. I had the makeup
nice.
on. I dyed my hair green. I had the full suit on. It's pretty good. Like I was a proud of myself. I'm trying to think of any other ones that were pretty spectacular. But the older I get, the less involved I become because she wants to hang out with her friends, so I won't outdo her shine. So I have to, play a father role. Unless we go to a party, then I'm gonna dress up. But usually I just kind of lay back with a t-shirt on.
And Trey, another I guess compliment here. You've got a physique that lends itself to superhero impersonations, or I mean, man, I guess I got to ask if you had,
Appreciate that.
yeah, if you had a favorite superhero growing up, or somebody that, man, if you could put that utility belt and that cape on and just be that guy, who would your superhero preference be?
Man, so I'm more of a villain guy, so I like Darth Maul, the Joker. Joker's always been one of my favorites. And Heath Ledger did the best job I think I've ever seen. He was probably the first actor that made me realize the Joker's pur like realize a character's purpose in a whole story or show or movie. His purpose was just to be the antagonist of Batman. He used to be the enemy of Batman. I mean, he was that was it. He didn't care about money. He didn't care about wealth. He didn't care about fame. He was just the opposite of Batman and everything he stood for. And that just made perfect sense to me for some reason. So ever since that, Heath Ledger played it. Joker's definitely one of my top. But to play on that, you always get the question with people, or when I interview people, I'm like, if you had, one superpower, what would be your superpower? Or what you have? My superpower would be I want to have the Force. So I guess my other hero, I guess would have to be, I want to say Luke Skywalker, but I like Darth Maul. And Vader ended up being good in the bad in the end. So I don't know. I wish I could be like a Lando Calrissian with the Force. That would be nice if I could make a character like that. He was a smooth talker. But he didn't have the force. Yeah. His force was the smooth talking, I guess. So maybe that's what it is.
How about, I don't know
But
if I
yeah.
asked you this beforehand, but do you have a favorite cartoon series as a kid, or it's one, man, you liked it then, you like it now? Let's
I
say
gave you a
one.
weird one. I can give you one of my weird favorite ones. I've always been in like British stuff, even as a kid, like British comedy, British cartoon. Even now, I watch a lot of British shows, like series on Netflix or Hulu or whatever. But there was one that nobody can remember. I do have a picture of it. It was called Banana Man. It was a guy in a it was a kid in a British lived in a British town, and when he ate a banana, he turned into a superhero in a blue and yellow suit, and he would fly to save the day throughout his city. It's called Banana Man, and I watched it religiously when I was a kid. Yeah.
That's perfect.
I
I want to look up that costume now.
think I might have a picture. I'll send it to you if I can find it. It's awesome. You know what? Maybe I should dress up as that this year's banana. And if everybody looks at me like I'm crazy, it's just interesting because I'm actually allergic to banana. So it's interesting
Really?
that I like that show. Yeah,
I've never
I
heard
never
of
even thought
that.
about that. But
How do you do
yeah, I'm a
on?
boy in a bubble.
Well, now, what about other fruits? Are you like oranges or?
So I found out recently, well, not recently, a few years ago, I went to allergist because my ears kept itching when I ate certain things, and found out I'm allergic to anything too acidic, like maybe watermelon, cantaloupe, honeydew, strawberries,
Okay, I'm getting
this
depressed
other
now.
stuff, oranges. I can eat blueberries. I can stomach strawberries a little bit, so they make my ears itch. I can't eat peanuts. Peanuts make my throat close. Even though I do still try to eat some peanut butter here and there, try to get as close to it as I can. I feel like I can eat my way to the other side, and that's probably my downfall because I try to ignore like I don't have the allergy, then I end up suffering with it later. Apparently, I'm allergic to trees, grass, pet dander. I mean, I got a list of stuff the allergists gave me because they test you for everything. But the one thing that interests me the most was that I'm not allergic to cockroaches, which I was like, how do you test for that? I guess they had a solution. They put in a vial and they tried it. I was like, that's an interesting thing to test for. Now, allergic to cockroaches is interesting.
Wow. And again, you know, Trey, that really goes back to your character and how you handle things. And somebody with all these things that they've got to exclude from their diet that they like to enjoy, or they see other people eating, no problem. Mm-hmm. You just are like, well, that's the deal, I guess, and then work around it.
So I eat a lot of protein, a lot of protein.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my go-tos.
Let's keep it on some of the favorite stuff here. This is always fun. Maybe we'll get back to some serious talk. Maybe we won't. But all right. So I understand that you are a lifelong or long enough L.A. Lakers fan, New York Giants fan.
Yep. It's funny. Both coasts. I got both coasts involved. Yeah.
I think I know who your favorite all-time Laker would probably be, but who is it?
It is Kobe.
There you go.
Kobe Bryant. I've followed him since I can remember. I remember watching him in the McDonald's American All-Star, the college All-Star game, where they have the highest recruits that are going to the league or going to college, and he was one of the ones that was going straight to the league. I remember watching him in his game and how he didn't miss one shot. Like, when he shot, even his outside shots and his inside shots, they all were just straight to the bottom of the net. Nothing hit the backboard and hit the rim. And he was just phenomenal to watch, even as, you know, coming out of high school. I was like, oh, this is going to be the guy right here. And I followed him through his whole career. And, I'm disappointed by, how his life ended. But it was some good years to be watching Laker basketball back then, especially when him and Shaq got together. Those were really exciting. People hated me, but I loved it. Still living those moments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kobe he wasn't my favorite player, but watching him play, you just knew this is the cream of the crop. He's the ultimate competitor. Gosh, they have so many years there with the Lakers.
Yeah, it was 20. You know, it's funny because a lot of people don't, some people don't consider him as a GOAT. I do. I mean, I know he doesn't have the 6 championships. He went to 7. But I just, you hear a lot of people talk about his character, like off the court and on the court. He was the same, like his determination, his will, and everything he did in life was the exact same. It wasn't like, oh, he plays hard on the court and he gets home, he's chill and relaxed. No, he had the same passion off the court as he did on the court. He won an Oscar for his short he did. He was one of the original people for body armor. He came out, they're still going right now on the top selling drinks, performance drinks. Just everything he put his name on, he made sure it was going to succeed. And I like that type of, mentality where you not only do it for show, but you do it, when people are not looking. Because what you do in the shadows will come out in the light eventually. So, I really admire that about his character and everything. I want to say, I'm also a Laker fan because I was born in L.A. My family's from L.A. So I was born into it. I got pictures of when I was a kid and my Laker stuff. People were like, oh, you're just a bandwagon. No, I was there. I was there when Magic Johnson was playing back in the day. I was a fan back then, even though it was, still good, but I've been a fan my whole life. I can, it's kind of like, if you grow up in Alabama, you got to pick Alabama or Auburn. It was like that in L.A. So Clippers or the Lakers. I guess you could have Golden State, too. But back then, it went one of the best teams. They had a couple of years with, Tim Hardaway and Dennis Schrimp and everybody then. But, I was a Laker fan since I was born.
Through and through. So you still remember, I know you do, when you heard the news about Kobe and that helicopter crash. What was that day like for you? I was in disbelief just as a sports fan.
Oh yeah. No, I woke up and I heard the news and I just didn't believe it. I saw the little thing pop up on my phone saying, Kobe was in a tragic accident. I was like, what? And so I get up, I go to my living room, I cut the TV on, and I just watched every news broadcast, every sports broadcast I could look at my phone, reading through social media, researching, just, I wanted to find something definite that really happened because it was very vague at first. It was a helicopter crash. It was saying it was on a helicopter yet, and it was too surreal to feel like it was really happening. So I remember sitting on my couch for probably 5 to 6 hours just watching TV and hoping to, hear something definite to let me know, that this is really happening, that it was a real thing. It wasn't just a rumor mill type thing. Cause I know, the media goes for any type of thing they can get ratings off of. So it was a tough day in my life. I didn't realize how much I knew I was a fan, but when you have somebody like that you like so much and look up to pass away, even though you've never met them or knew them in person, it has an impact on your life, which is interesting.
You grow close to these figures. We were talking earlier about men, and as you get older, maybe you have children, if things hit you a little harder.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because I know I was saying that when I had Sophia, my first biological child, my only, I guess, when she was born, I started watching movies in a different way, like Disney movies that I watched through, laughing at, like even Lion King, you realize that, you know, he's fatherless pretty much, and then Nemo, it begins off with his mother and all his siblings dying. He's the only kid left, you know. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I started, you know, feeling these emotions that I never felt before watching these movies. I even called my wife and asked her about it. She was like, it's just because you had a dog, you've had a baby, you've had a kid now, and all these emotions are stirring in you. And then also I recant a time, my tattoo artist, I told him about this, and he told me he had the same thing happen to him when he had his first kid, that he had to take, not estrogen, but his estrogen levels were so high that his doctor made him take testosterone supplements to level everything back out. That's how bad his were, which is crazy. So I just wanted to know, you know, if you experienced the same thing, if it was just a kind of a rare instance, or all dads experience this, you know, after they have kids.
Yeah, and I used to think, well, maybe it's me not getting enough sleep or getting sleep interrupted because of the children. But I think it's a real thing with dads, with parents, with mothers. But, yeah, men who don't ordinarily find themselves crying in the middle of movies. It happens with me with music, and there will also be times where I'll drop my children off at preschool, and it's like 9 days out of 10 or whatever, 4 days out of five, I just go on to work. But then there's sometimes I get a little sentimental about it. And I'm like, man, I'm missing their whole day. Because I can't hang out with them. It's like I got to work, and you know, your days are so condensed with your children. You want to spend so much more time with them, but yeah, things do.
No, I get that. I was gonna play off dropping your kids off. First time I dropped Sophia off, she did a home daycare. This lady, Miss Lulu, I love her to death. She's like one of the family members now. Home daycare, we interviewed with her, loved her, but the first day I dropped Sophia off, I felt like I was being a bad parent. I dropped her off, and she went to Miss Lulu just fine. And when I walked away, she turned around and looked at me, and she realized that I wasn't staying with her, and she started crying. But Miss Lulu shut the door, you know, to kind of cut that connection off. I had to call my wife, like almost in tears, like, I don't know if I made the right decision. Like, I was freaking out, and she was just laughing at me. She's like, "Calm down, please don't turn around and go pick her back up. Let her stay. Give her a couple days, it'll be fine. Promise you." And sure enough, by the end of the week, she was fine. She was going in by herself. She, you know, she was okay with it. Just that initial separation, I was like, oh, my God. I did not know I could feel like this. I think in my mind, I felt like I was not there to protect her in case anything happened. I felt like I was letting her down as a dad. So, I don't know. I was all over the place. But I do feel that separation when she first was going to daycare. So I get that when you drop the kids off, you kind of not being a part of it there, not being there for them.
It is a real feeling. It's a real deal. When Warren, my oldest, he's in kindergarten now, but he's the first one to run through preschool when he was two. And I'll never forget that first week. I think it was the first 3 days out of the week. He did not want me to leave. He did not like where he was. And they're looking at you with just tears streaming down their face, thinking, why can't you come grab me? What are you doing? What is this cruel separation that's going on here? And gosh, man, I remember that first day I dropped him off and I experienced that, went back to my car, and it's like immediately, because of the job I was in, my phone was ringing constantly. As soon as it's like almost eight, people are calling, texting me, and it's like it was a call I had to take, and I'm like, I'm almost about to start crying like a four-year-old, where you almost hyperventilate, you know? And right. I'm like, shoot, I got to get it together. And I just whipped myself into shape in like 10 seconds, barely. But all I'm talking to this guy about something work-related, and all I want to do is fall apart. And and I'm driving off, and it's like, gosh. But then I'm having to go through it
just
again.
Just taught yourself a new life skill. Yeah.
But then, you know, with Wyatt, and then, you know, Vivian's about to start at this preschool, so it'll happen again. But it's tough, but it's not like the first time.
Right, yeah.
You kind of know how this movie how it plays out, but
Yeah, right. It's like learning a new life skill all of a sudden that you didn't know you was gonna need. Like you got to be able to separate it. Like you drop them off, you maybe feel a certain way, but you got to, accomplish other things in the day. But I will tell you this: the older they get, the easier it becomes. So, yeah, like Sophie now, she goes to horseback riding lessons. She's like, "Okay, I'll see you when I get done." And no fear of the horses. Not, I mean, I still have that back in my head. Like, what if I'm not there and the horse kicks her off or something? But the older they get, the more comfortable they become with, well, I know I can, they can handle themselves enough to. If anything happens, especially when they get older, they can tell you, they can report back if anything goes wrong too. So you feel a bit better about that. And then everything now pretty much is surveillance almost. You got cameras everywhere.
Right.
Everybody wants to make sure they cover all this so they don't want to be sued. Because lawsuits are pretty easy nowadays. So the world's a lot different than, 10 years ago when I was taking her. But I mean, for you, it'll get better. When they get older, they get used to it and it won't be as hard.
Yeah, I think we were saying earlier before we got started, as dads, you get emotional, you have these moments and stuff, but I just realized I don't think that my children have actually seen me cry.
Right.
I'm fairly certain they've never seen that. They probably think it doesn't happen, and when it does happen, because I remember seeing my dad cry. It took 30 something years, or no, there was one time when we lost my grandfather, his dad. I think he cried a little bit, but it's when you see your parent, I feel like maybe I should show some of that emotion or be okay with it, but.
Right. I mean, I tell my kids I love them. I think that's a lot of, I think that's enough emotion for me. I love you. I'm there for you. I'm here to support you, but I don't know if I show them I cry and stuff like that. I'm still not to that point, but
I don't
situations calls for it, I'll do it.
yeah, the weird thing is it's not like I wouldn't be okay with it because other than that, I carry my kids around, I kiss them a lot, I tell them I love them, I try to be as tender as I can with my children. I remember carrying Warren around. And we were leaving breakfast somewhere, and it was like the server that was waiting on us was following us out the door, opening the door for us. And she was like, "Put that boy down. He's too big. You don't need to be carrying him anymore." If my child
That's
wants
just
me
the
to pick him
Southern
up,
thing. Yes.
but
Pick him up.
Vivian is.
Somebody told me you never know what's gonna be the last time your kid wants you to carry him. They're like, you maybe get tired of carrying him, but there's gonna be a point in time you'll be like, I wish I carried him a little longer,
What
So I always think about that.
about now? So Sophie is 10. Are there ever times
Yes.
where she's like, "Daddy, pick me up. Daddy, let me get on your
Oh,
back"?
it's not shit. All the time she wants to get on my back. She wants me to carry her, especially if it's in the morning and I have to wake her up. She wants me to carry her to our room so she can kind of wake up later. Like she wants to come. Well, she really wants me to pick her up, bring her to my bed so she can lay down for a second, give that extra 5 minutes, then get up. But she still wants me to carry her. And I always think about, they say, enjoy these moments while you have them. So I pick her up as long as I can. Because the bigger she gets, the heavier they get, it becomes a lot more difficult. But she's a little small fry, so. She's not really too heavy for me to carry it right now, but she is putting on a little bit of weight as she gets older. So I do it, even though sometimes I'm like, oh, you can get up and walk. You're almost the same height as your mother, but I'll carry you, whatever, So I do it. I'm a sucker for.
Trey, I got a few silly questions here. We may jump back to
Okay.
another favorite sports team or something, but sometimes I like to just
Yeah.
jump all over the place.
That's good.
So, Jim wears some pretty colorful t-shirts sometimes. I've always been a big fan of some of that stuff. I gotta ask,
Yeah.
do you still have or wear the milk "I am your father" shirt with the cow?
And the carton of milk? No, I don't. I had it for so long. I had that shirt for over 15 years. It just tore apart. I need to find a new one, but I'm a big graphic tees guy. I don't know if I have the picture, but I had a picture of my closet. And my t-shirts are color coded. One year, I get rid of 40 shirts, and my closet was still full of t-shirts because I hang them up, and I have them color coded from white to all the colors in between, all the way down to black. It's pretty impressive, I might say. And there's a lot of graphic tees, a lot of dress tees. I call them like a little dressier because they have like maybe three buttons on them, like a Henley tee or a V-neck. But I'm a t-shirt guy. I love graphic tees. I've almost got. a t-shirt for every holiday and every celebration, whether it's a 4th of July or a birthday. I've got a t-shirt for everything. It's about Star Wars Day. I even got one for Thanksgiving. I've got a couple for Thanksgiving. St. Patty's. I love my grandma. It's a way of expression for me, without saying much. People see my tea. It's a conversation starter. So my personality is like, I like this tea because this is my type of humor, or this is my type of thinking. So I think tea has become, I've come a long way from my childhood where it was just like supporting your favorite team or your favorite TV show.
Yeah, they're great.
It's a way of branding yourself, yeah.
I wish t-shirts fit me better. I've always had a problem finding the ones, like if I get one I like, then I wear it out and it doesn't last very long. But
Right.
there was a time, man, I think it's been close to 10 years ago, but you were down in Pensacola with Monster, with Jim, and I'm showing you guys a good time on the town, and we go to Seville Quarter. If you've never been to
House of the Hill, yes.
If those of you listening have never been to Pensacola, I probably haven't put a plug in since the early episodes, but make a plan to come down here. It's a lot to do, daytime, nightlife, but here we are, Seville Quarter, and I think you're wearing a tank. I don't remember
Yes,
what was
I
on it.
did. I wore a tank top.
We're trying to
Just a
get
plain
in,
tank top. It
and
might have been like a striped tank top, yeah.
yeah, and we're standing there. We're trying to get in, and they wouldn't let you in without at least a t-shirt. And luckily, I wasn't parked too far away,
Yes.
and I had. I'm just one of those guys that, especially with the kids now, I always have a few extra shirts and pairs of shorts for the kids because something's going to
Right.
happen. But I used to always drive with an extra t-shirt. Maybe it's because when I was single, I'd go out to the beach and
Oh,
do things
yeah.
where I'm like, I'm going to just get sweaty, or this is going to smell like the golf or something. I just want something fresh to change into. So I had the, such a long-winded story here, but the living the dream t-shirt.
Yes.
Man, I may have to share a picture of this on the socials. Another reason for you people to
Yes.
subscribe or follow me on Instagram or X. If I've got a picture, I'll post it. I don't know if we do, but living the dream, you
Yes.
put it on and it just fit like a glove.
I remember you looking and like, man, I'm never gonna see this shirt again. I felt so bad, but we're trying to have a good night, so a good time. So I just was like, yep, this is what I'm gonna wear tonight. But I can
Now,
see you had a connection to a Living the Dream shirt. I felt bad.
I still have it.
Right,
I
so I
don't wear
returned it.
it. You actually put it in the mail to me, and I gotta ask, did it ever make an appearance in Birmingham, or you got so many
I may
shirts?
have worn it once or twice. I may have worn it once or twice, but then I washed it. And I remember sending it to you because I put some miniatures in there with you as a thank you as well. I don't remember the miniatures. I don't remember. It had to be some type of whiskey or bourbon miniatures I put in there. I can't remember what they were.
And the shirt, it's just a navy
It's like.
blue shirt, and in white letters on the front, Livin', LIVIN apostrophe, the dream. And it's a burger place in Nashville. I forget the name of it. I've never actually been there. I saw a guy wearing like a red shirt that said Livin' the Dream. I said, where'd you get that? And instead of telling me, he said, I'm going to order you one. That's how I got that shirt.
I never knew that. I never knew that. That's where it came from. I thought it was a shirt that you just, living the dream is what you tell people. How you doing? I'm just living the dream. I thought it was just a model shirt for you that you really loved, and I didn't know that. So there's a place called Living the Dream in Nashville.
Well, it's I'm gonna try to look it up while we're talking, but yeah, the front of the shirt, you kind of assume that so many people are not gonna see the back of it. So yeah, you're right. It is a statement, and that's what I was doing. 2014, 15. I met Natalie in July of 16. So just me in that time period, living the dream was, yeah, there were some challenges, but
Yeah, that's a good time.
yeah, some good times. Speaking of bourbon, I know we're both now. I've taken a little break from the bottle, but it wasn't a lifestyle need. I mean, not any kind of excess problem. I just got sick last year for a couple weeks and just put it on the shelf for a little bit. So, but anyway, I got a question here. I hope you appreciate this. Maybe we'll explore it more than just this question. All right. Could you make it through this pairing? You're at B-Dubs. You're at Buffalo Wild Wings, watching a game, could you get through, without a glass of water, a basket of 15 blazing hot wings paired up with a glass of Maker's Mark neat?
Take a little
swig of the Maker's Mark every wing.
I've never had their blazing hot wings. I don't know. That's interesting. I've had every wing at Hooters, from the mildest to the hottest, and they've never affected me as that bad. They've always been okay. But blazing hot from, I feel like I need to try this now. I need to try like a 6-piece to see if I can eat them. I don't know. I'm going to say no. I don't think I can do it. And with neat, natty on the rocks, now I love my whiskey, and I can drink it straight all day, but that was something hot, like spicy like that. I don't know. Have you tried the challenge yourself? Is that why you put it up to me, or is this out of the random thoughts of your head?
I wrote it down because, yeah, there was a time where I might be out watching a game, and I would get a bourbon on the rocks, most likely with wings, but not the hottest wings, but probably at least hot, maybe extra hot, and probably a glass of water on the side. But, yeah, I had no problem with the bourbon and the wings. Yeah. Got to be a little careful with it, but.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot more tequilas now, but, yeah, I still do whiskey. I still have whiskey. I mean, if it's on the rocks, I can maybe manage. I don't know, 15 is a lot, though, man. That's really testing the limits.
I think my brother, my older brother, Rob, can put away, I want to say 20. One sitting.
Yes.
I'm kind of a weakling on as far as the quantity of wings. I can get to, but really 6 is all I need. 6 and some fries, and then I'm good. But I don't get wings as much as I used to.
Yeah, I can remember now and then. I used to eat them a lot. I even make them a lot, but kind of died down. So, interesting thing about me, I've never, growing up, I didn't like ribs, steak, ranch dressing. Only type of beef I really liked was hamburgers. I never got into steak, pork chops, any of that stuff. Even though my dad can cook really good as far as like grilling and stuff, I just never liked it. So recently, I guess in the past couple of years, I finally tried a steak that I like, and now I've been a steak eater. I've been buying steaks and eating more steaks. So with that coming into my life, I've kind of cut back on my wing consumption because I'm exploring more types of, different types of steaks, like, the ribeye, the cowboy ribeyes, the flank, the skirt, all different types of steaks. I want to try them all to see what I've been missing out on. So I hadn't really been focusing on chicken as much.
I love a T-bone, ribeye.
Yes.
Porterhouse.
Yeah, brisket. Brisket has been one of my new favorites. If I can find a good brisket, I'm sold. I'm good.
How about this? How about this pairing? Let me try this again. All right. How about, they still have, is Crystal, the hamburger place, is it still around? They've been shutting them down. How are they doing?
They have. We've got one that I can know of in Hoover. It's holding on by thread, and I think there's one in Tuscaloosa. That's the only two I've seen. But a lot of them have closed down around the state. So those are the only two I've seen recently, and maybe one in Montgomery.
All right, let's just say you make a run over to the Hoover Crystals. Get yourself a sack full and come back home and pour a stout glass of Old Granddad.
Oh, man. That's Scott's favorite.
Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey.
Yeah, yeah. I can do it.
And a sack full.
I can do that, yeah. A sack full. How much is a sack full? Is it 10? Is that how many is 10 for a sack full? I don't know, but yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's 12.
That's usually when Christmas is the best, is late at night. It's kind of like Waffle House, You eat Waffle House in the day, it's okay, but at night, it's the best meal you can think about. It's the best. It hits all the check marks. It's filling and it's greasy. I mean, that's all you need.
Now, so, my kids, actually, they like Waffle House.
Yeah. My Sophie has a Waffle House t-shirt. She went there for her birthday last year. And they gave her a little hat.
It's really a fun place for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the menu is very straightforward. Yes, you can make a lot of it at the house, but here's the way I look at it. You can make a waffle at home, but you're not going to make a waffle that's going to taste like a Waffle House waffle. Now, the eggs and the toast and the bacon, yeah, but it's the experience. Did you ever, did you ever play the jukebox at a Waffle House?
Yes. When they had them. Do they still have them? I'm not even sure, but yes, I played them in the past. You want to know what I played?
I got to hear it.
I played a mix of stuff. It all depends on the crowd, but I play a mix of stuff. You know, I have to play some 90s hip-hop somewhere in there, and then I would throw in some grunge 90s somewhere, and then maybe like an old-school song that my my grandparents used to listen to. Just a nice little mix.
You ever get up to the jukebox, and you got the dollar in your hand or the quarters, and you stop for a second, like you said, and just kind of survey. You just look around and say, all right, let's see. This is what I was thinking. Maybe we should call an audible and just because you want to make everybody happy. You want to hear what you want to hear. But man, there's nothing better than you put that song in or those three songs. You go back and sit down and you see a head bobbing across the way.
Right.
And it's like they were having an experience that they would not have had if I didn't cue up that song.
Exactly.
Man, I don't know how we got to this topic, but how about another one? Let's see here.
All right.
And you just, Trey, you cut me off here if it's getting a little out of hand. Okay, when was the last time that you went for a massive cannonball or can opener at a friend's pool or a hotel condo pool?
Oh man, a cannonball? Jesus.
You just kind of walk in, kind of like nobody knows it's coming, and you just make that slow entry into the pool, but just let it rip.
God, it's been a while since I've done. Well, you know, anytime I go to a pool, we just went to a pool a couple weeks ago. We're at the beach. I just jump straight in. If it's cold or hot, I just get it over with. I like to jump straight in. I'm trying to think. Last time I did a cannonball. Oh man.
Well, I haven't done it in a long time.
I haven't even thought about that. Yeah. I remember jumping in the pool to save my brother one time that was drowning, my baby brother.
Wow.
But that was I don't think he even remembers that. But he was stubborn and he was trying to go. I told him to stay, you know, by me in the pool, and he went to the deep end. So I had to run around the pool and just dive. I didn't know how to dive. I knew how to swim. So I jumped in. I got to him and just swam the best I could, because I was a kid at the time, because he's only 13 years younger than me. And so he had to be like 3 and I was 16. My parents left the kids with me to watch while they went to go eat. And I don't even know if my parents know this story. I don't think I even told them. So I felt like, you know, it was my fault that it was going on, because I was supposed to be watching them, and I had my sister. And that's the most memorable cannonball I think I did, is I just jumped in there. Like, I don't think I dove because I didn't know how to. I just jumped in the best I could and started swimming. Yeah.
And you saw him go in as it happened?
Well, I saw him going underwater. He couldn't come back up. I saw him put his hand up because he was trying to come back up, and he couldn't. And that's when panic mode kicked in, you know, fight or flight.
Yeah.
I jumped out from where I was at, put my sister to the side, and I just ran as fast as I could and jumped in the pool. I don't remember if I dove. I don't remember how I landed. I just remember getting them and bringing them out. And I was like, all right, it's time to go back to the hotel room. We're going to wait till our parents get back home. Let me get back in. It was a scary day, but I think that's the last big jump. I mean,
boy, thank God you were there.
I think after that,
Yeah, there was one time that my nephew Michael, Travis's son, He saved my son, Warren. This is
really
a story I haven't ever told publicly, but we're standing there at a hotel indoor pool, and Natalie and I are having a conversation with somebody right there, like right next to where Warren's playing. And we had just taken his little puddle jumpers off because we're getting ready to go back up to the room. And he was chasing a tennis ball back into the pool. He was probably 3 and a half.
Yeah.
Michael was right there and saw it. I mean, Warren goes straight down, and he lifted him right back up. And Warren talked about it. He said, yeah, I was sinking. And I said, and Michael saved you? But I felt really bad. And it does go to show you that, man, with kids and bodies of water, pools, got to be really, really careful with the Gulf or the ocean, depending on where you live or vacation. Can happen really fast, so put that phone away when you're near the water and you got kids, and make sure they got their inflatable devices.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that Michael did that, being you know, the big brother of the family of his siblings.
It happens.
Save another kid. Yeah.
It was so fast, and he had him out of the pool like nothing happened. But then it just, we're going back up the elevator, and everything's fine, and you're just thinking, man, everything would not have been fine.
Right. Yep.
Yeah,
in
so.
In a moment's distance, yeah.
And I think it's real, I'm glad you brought that up, because here we are, weather's getting warmer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fun in the sun and all that stuff. Everyone's, just be careful out there. If you got little ones, make sure they're being supervised. And what, I had a couple other questions. Oh, yeah, so we didn't touch on the New York Giants.
Oh, yeah.
A favorite NFL team.
Go Big Blue, yes. Giants is my favorite NFL team. People ask me all the time. They get the Lakers because I was born in L.A. I was raised in Alabama pretty much for most of my life. I didn't have a, you know, being in the South, like in, you know, in Alabama, you know how it is. We don't have any NFL teams. We can't even support a pro team, a semi-pro team.
The
we
Iron.
Got one now to support it, but yeah, the Iron, the Barracudas. We've had a few teams come through here, and the support has just not been good.
Even the Stallions.
The Stallions is bad. The Stallions have won the championship 2 years in a row.
People need to support
And I feel
them.
Bad because I haven't been to a game. I think I'm kind of burned because every time I start supporting, I support the Iron, went to most of their games. And then in the middle season, they just cut it out, you know. But the Stallions seem to be here for a while. So I'm going to go to their games this year.
Man, I love the Iron. I was, even from afar, from Pensacola, I loved that season. I was pretty bummed.
Yeah, it was exciting to watch. But so I became a Giants fan because I didn't have a team, you know. People either pick the Saints, the Falcons, Cowboys for some reason, Pittsburgh Steelers, or just whatever the popular team was back then, or something close by, in like Tennessee, Titans, or the Oilers back in the day. I was a Giants fan because everybody I hung out with in the service were New Yorkers. Like, I hung out with a lot of New Yorkers, and I think because they're really belligerent and straight to the point, and that's how I kind of talk to people. I'm just kind of, I'm not really good at sugarcoating, and that's how New Yorkers are. They just tell you. So I hung out with a lot of them, and I embraced that culture of all the Giants fans that was around me. And I just became a Giants fan, you know, back when Plaxico Burress was there. And, I mean, I wasn't there when Phil Simms was there. I was a little bit young for when Phil Simms and they won those two Super Bowls. But I guess in the early 2000s when I really became really interested in NFL, like as far as being a team fan of anybody. I had a lot of players I liked, but as far as having a team, I didn't until I started hanging around people who are from a city that, you know, actually grew up with the NFL team and how they embraced the culture and showed it to me. And I was like, okay, I can get down with this. So I've been a Giants fan ever since then. So I've been a Giants fan for at least about, I guess you can say, 2024 now, 20 years.
Wow, you're there for the early Coughlin days.
Ah, yes. Coughlin, Tim Coughlin, yes. Tom Coughlin, yes.
I miss that Tom Coughlin, that stare off into the distance, the scoreboard, or the ref, just that. Oh, I loved it. He was so locked in, and it's kind of a throwback.
Oh, yeah.
Tiki Barber, I guess, earlier teams.
Yeah, Tiki, I remember his last game, like, it was before, they didn't really have a playoff run that year, but he had one of the best games of his career, his last couple games of the season. He had a 220-yard game. He just was playing like he was, you know, ready to, you know, sign another year. I think he was just showing people that he could still do it, but he was just tired. You know, he was ready to retire while he could still enjoy it. That's what I think he was doing. But that's back when, what's his name, Strahan was still there.
Yep.
Strahan retired after his Super Bowl. That defense has always been good in New York. And that's what I think. We kind of keep a good defense, and our offense has kind of been subpar. I mean, we've had some, you know, some electric players come through, but our offense has never been like, you know, like the top offense that people are like, oh, gotta look out for the offense. It's always been the defense that keeps us through. Like the last Super Bowl the Giants won, I think we was a wild card. We were a wild card. I think we were 9-8 that season. And we managed to make it through and beat the Patriots. Oh, that's such a good Super Bowl for me. Oh my God.
That's incredible.
I remember watching that Super Bowl. Yes. I was running laps around the house I was at. Because everybody thought the Giants, this is not going to be a good Super Bowl. And when it happened, when I knew we were winning, I could not be still. I just ran around. I couldn't be still. Like, I had to get up and show my excitement. But, I hold on to those moments, like these seasons we have right now, because it's rough. And so I feel like a Browns fan. They had some tough years. I guess we haven't been in the doghouse like they have for as long as they have. But it's not a fun, you know, position to be in when your team's not winning.
No, it's not. And I don't know where they pick in the first round this year. The draft, I guess, is the end of this month,
Yeah,
27th,
I
25th.
won't say.
You know,
I do feel like the quarterback situation wasn't the best idea.
yeah,
They
I mean,
paid Danny Dimes all that money for having his best season of his career, but I was like, you should have, I don't know, used that money for something else, like maybe a better offensive line or, a tackle on the guard or anything besides just putting it all on one player who's subpar. So that's my two cents.
I agree. How about the Crimson Tide? You've, of course, following
Oh yeah,
Alabama.
Alabama. I've been a Bama fan since I was a kid. My oldest, he goes to Alabama. He loves it out there. I do stuff with Monster. We go out there and support him for different games. I've actually got a contract out there with the Standard, which is a pizza place out of New York, and they sell their locations up there and moved down to Alabama for the great location. And they the one of the owners actually recreated the recipe of the pizza because of David Portnoy, who's the founder of Barstools, the guy who tries pizza. He says one bite and he judges your pizza off that one bite. He actually came down for the Texas Alabama game and came into that restaurant that we had the contract with, and it's a video, you can look it up online. The Standard in Alabama, it's Alabama versus Texas, and he took one bite and he gave him like three bites, and he gave him like a 7.3 out of 10, which is good. Like, I take it to see the excitement of the owner and how many people were excited to see it happening. The owner was like shaking, almost crying after the dude left. It was pretty amazing. And I'm glad I was a Bama fan. Even though we lost, even though Texas got us, we lost Sarkisian, who came up through the saving program. It was still a good experience to be a part of. And I probably wouldn't have been there if I wasn't a Bama fan. I'd probably been at Auburn or something trying to do something with them. But yeah, I've been a Bama fan as long as I can remember.
How about, I may be putting you on the spot here, but do you have a, since it is Dan time, but it's really, it's Trey time. It is solidly Trey time today. But do you have a favorite athlete named Dan?
Let me think about this. Oh, you know what? I do. I didn't even think about this. I liked Dan Marley, Phoenix Suns. I
Nice.
guess he was a small forward back then. Thunder Dan is what they called him. Dan Marley, that to see somebody shoot threes from that range at that age was just amazing. I mean, he did it all the time and made it look so easy. And I was like, oh, this is, it's something you don't see. I mean, people see dunks. Dunks became popular, dunk contests and all that. But to see a guy to pull up and just shoot threes from, right after he crosses the half court line. It's one of my favorite things to watch. That's when they had, KJ. I think Barkley came over eventually. Cedric Tabalos was there. But Thunder Dan was one of my
Oh, yeah.
favorite Dans because he made perimeter shooting exciting because he would stay so far behind the line. And now it's a normal thing. You see, all these guards doing it now. So, but I like to say he was one of those founding members of the long distance three. He's like, he made it popular, made it so you could do it in the game and, make it exciting instead of just a buzzer beater. You can just do it any time of the game. People get excited about it.
You're right about that.
But
Not
yeah, Thunder Dan.
Yeah, small forward. Coached a little bit of college basketball after his playing days.
Yeah, I did. I didn't know that.
Actually, the team, one of the teams at Alabama in the tournament went through this year, Grand Canyon. He was a former coach of the Grand Canyon Antelopes. But yeah, some of those Phoenix Suns teams, man, great times for the NBA. In the Western Conference, one of the most dominant teams. Gosh, remember that the NBA Finals with the Bulls and Suns? If I'm thinking correctly,
Yes,
what
I
year?
remember. I don't remember a year, but do you remember Charles Barkley's famous end of the game interview? They were down like, I don't know, maybe like four games. No, it's like three games to two or something like that. And they had just won. And Barkley was like, "Oh, I saw all the signs in Chicago saying we're about to repeat and blah blah." He's like, "God showed me in my dream that we need to take all those signs down because we're gonna be the champs this year." Like he was talking so much noise, I never forget that. And then they lost. Then
Yeah.
they still lost.
Oh man. I got to go back and watch some of this stuff. I remember when, did you do this when the pandemic hit, like those first couple months and nobody knows what's going on. The sports have all halted. There's no live sports. One of the things I did, I'd get on YouTube at night and just watch like
Mm-hmm.
old playoff games. I was watching like baseball 1952 World Series, black and white stuff.
Oh, wow. Oh, now I did, you know, since that, you know, sports wasn't going on, that's when they started playing those classic hardwood games more often on different channels. So I would, if that was on, I would watch one of those and be like, oh man, I forgot about this game. You know, it was real nostalgic more than nothing. It's like watching an old movie that you hadn't seen in a while to watch those highlights happen again. And just to see the way the crowd reacts to the game, and you know how the culture was, how you dressed back then, and the game back, you know, older games, there's more raw. I feel like, you know, it's not so many prima donnas as it is now.
Right.
It's kind of all about the sport. If you got bumped, you just kept playing. You know, you weren't trying to get the call because you got bumped. You're trying to get the ball back and prove that you were better than that person who just, you know, just scored on you or whatever.
Now,
so,
Trey, did you play a little basketball at Ramsey?
I did. I played basketball at Ramsey. I played a little bit in the service too. I played shooting guard. I played shooting guard. It was cool. Ramsey was fun. I played under Coach Scoggins, who was the Nike ambassador coach for Alabama. So I played a little AAU ball as well in the summers. But yeah, I played basketball most of my life. I played a little football, not much. My high school didn't have a football team. I picked it up a little bit in the service. The Marine Corps had some intramural leagues I played on. But yeah, basketball was probably my favorite sport that I played. It was a fun time. It was one of those sports you can talk noise, be yourself, and people respect that. They respect you, you know, talking noise to them and still playing the game respectfully and not just trying to, you know, dog them out or just talk bad about them. It's just, you know, that's part of the game is some people talk when they play, you know, and you can enjoy that, especially if it's entertaining to whoever you're playing against. I've always got compliments about my trash talking during games. And that's one thing I like, because I'm going to go out here and just be myself and not have to hold my, you know, my tongue whenever I play. So it's one of my favorite sports because of that.
Yeah, there's a playground near the Blue Wahoo Stadium down here. It's across the street, and there's a basketball court there. There's always guys playing. And, man, sometimes it sounds like a fight's about to break out. but like you said, it's all confined within that game.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And everybody, it's understood, you know. You know, it's just how you play. It's part of the game, you know. Now, I can't get carried away sometimes. It can. Some people, you know, make it a little personal. But usually it's, you know, it doesn't get much more than an argument. Heated argument, somebody quits or somebody leaves or somebody takes their ball, goes home crying, you know. I mean, but nobody's getting beat up or shot or anything crazy like that. It's understood that you talk when you play the game. It's a form of expression.
Well, Trey, I guess I say this a lot on the show with my guests, you know, when I wish we could talk for another hour, but I got to tell you, Trey, with you, if my wife would let me get away with it, if Natalie would be okay, I'd say, hang on a second. I'm going to go grab something to drink, and we keep talking for another hour.
But, oh, man, I didn't realize how long it's been. Yeah, it's been a good call.
I got a couple other quick questions. I hope we covered all the important stuff, because this is, man, I got one for you here.
Okay.
All right. Did you ever follow wrestling?
When I was younger, I did, and I went to my first real wrestling match, and I got to go right up next to the stage, and I realized how fake it was, and it kind of killed it for me. I wish I had nosebleed seats instead of being so close. Before, I just really believed, like, oh, I'm going to see this, and such is going to do that. And then I get there, and I was like, that was fake. He didn't even hit him. I'm like, you know, I was like, this, you know, it just looks so much different when you're so close.
Yeah.
And instead of me falling in love with the storylines anymore, I was just like, I was hurt by how fake it was. I wanted to be so hard that, you know, this is real, and people are doing this, you know, but I guess you can't really be that physical with people all the time, and you know. But as a kid, you fantasize that when you see this in real life, it's going to be all that you think it is on TV, and it's really not when you're that close. You see everything that's happening. You see it when you're so close. You see it all. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But what was your wrestling question?
Well, I was going to ask you, since WrestleMania is this weekend, and I don't follow it very closely anymore. I try to watch the Royal Rumble once a year. But yeah, some of those moves when they got them down on the mat and they're in a kicking motion and you're like, man, you're not even coming close to that guy's chest. it's like, I see you doing the stomp with the other foot. Don't try to fool me on that. But like, yeah, some of the chops, the chops are definitely real.
Oh yeah.
But I was going to ask you, you know, if we did get in the ring, me and you, and we were trying to put on a show for the fans, the paying audience, and I'm just there to do a job. Okay, you're the star. you're the heel, maybe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm just trying to get you over. And what kind of, so you've been knocking me around. I've been taking my bumps the whole match. What kind of finishing move would you put me in? Would you go for like a DDT, a choke slam, maybe? Or what does Lesnar do, the F5? Would you maybe spearhead tackle?
Oh, man, a good finishing move? I think anything off the top ropes, off the buckle, is a good finishing move.
How about
maybe
when
some
you
type
like,
of backflip?
How about when you've like knocked me around and I'm kind of like spinning around light on my feet, you know, because you've just been like pounding me. And so I'm like walking in circles and it gives you enough time to climb up to the top turnbuckle and then jump off and hit me with both hands or do a big a frog splash.
Maybe if I could somehow land into a flip off the ropes and I've seen where they slide down the person's back and then they flip them over, maybe like a suplex, pin you in a suplex with your shoulders to the ground and your feet up in the air.
Yeah.
I think that would be exciting.
And then I got a kick like the whole time that they're doing the count, 1, 2, 3 count, like I'm going to get out of it, but I got no chance.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people know this about our height differential. You know, I think you've got me by almost a foot. So as our friend Jim likes to point out, it's the funniest picture we've ever taken us standing side by side. I think that makes it even a better picture. Seeing me hold you up and being up in the air like that would be pretty entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll probably never get that chance, but I always wonder what it's like.
We would hurt something.
I always wonder what it's like for those wrestlers who are there to basically just take a beating and make that star look good.
Yeah. Right. I wonder if some of those wrestlers do that because they're told that, you know, if they pay their dues, they'll have their time in light, or they're just making it there for the paycheck. They know that they are not the, you know, they're not the main character, but they're there because they like to do it. You know, some people just like to be a part of something greater than themselves. So I'm sure there's different ways you can look at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about, and we may have to wrap up here, but
okay,
are you at peace with Nick Saban and his decision to retire? I think the more I think about it, I'm good with it. I want to know that he's good with it, and I'm not convinced yet that he's good with it.
I really feel like this year should have been a year he retired because it was so close. I feel like Saban could have stayed one more year and kind of announced, you know, hey, this is my final year. No, but I don't know. Maybe he did it this way, so it wouldn't be so much, you know, attention on him. You know, I think he did it the way that he felt was best for the player. So, you know, the whole season wouldn't be like, oh, saving your time, was you going to do this game? Or are you still, you know, cause, you know, when you announce stuff like that, everybody wants to ask you about it all the time. It takes the attention away from what's really important, and that's the players. That's first and foremost is the players. So I think the way he did it was, well thought out, but I wish he would have stayed one more year. I'm sorry. I'm good with it. I'm good. He seems happy. I know he bought that land, bought that that home out there in Florida, and his wife seems to be happy. You know, when it comes down to it, you want to make sure that your family's happy too, especially as a man. You know, being a breadwinner, you want to, you know, if your family's happy, then everything else should be okay.
I feel like this is just me speculating, but I feel like Miss Terry probably had a lot of sway in that. Maybe.
I've heard those rumors, yeah.
Maybe she wanted some Nick time.
Oh, yeah. She's tired of sharing them.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think he's been through a lot of programs, yeah.
At some point, it's like, man, you made all this money.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like he's going to get back in somewhere in some league. I don't really see him coaching in a spring league. I know Spurrier did that.
Yeah.
That was actually, I thought it was a cool thing for Spurrier.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't really think he would go back to the NFL, but
yeah.
I don't. Maybe he really is done. It's hard to say. I'd give it, if a year goes by and he's still not in coaching, then he's not going to, but I'd be real curious to see at the year mark from when he announced.
The man has a statue. I don't know if there's any more accolades you can really get. I mean, you won these championships, you compared as one of the greatest coaches to do it. You got a statue. I mean, people have named their pets after you. You know, I mean, it's I think he, maybe he just wants to sit back and enjoy it. But if he comes back, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna support him no matter what he does. As long as it's not Auburn, I'm good. I don't care. But I hope he's happy with his decision. He doesn't regret it.
I feel like he's gonna recharge the batteries. A year is gonna go by, and he's gonna be like, "Man, I feel fresh. I miss it. I'm not. I mean, yeah, he's 72.
Three, I think. 71, 70, yeah.
He's not too old. I think we just kind of we still look at people like, oh, if you're over 70, then you're kind of we need to like shut you down. Like, you're not capable." I'm like, I don't know. I mean, like 85, yeah, but he's in pretty good shape. Well, be interesting to see.
Well, I was just thinking about Bama football. You mentioned you asked me about it before. One of my greatest sports plays, or that I remember, or one of my favorite, or my favorite sports play that ever happened. It was Alabama. It was the '92 championship when they played Miami,
Yes.
and George C. walked down. I can't remember the receiver's name right now. Walks him down, took the ball out of his hands, and ran back the other way. Of course, they didn't count the yards because of whatever the penalty was. But I've never seen anybody walk somebody down, take the ball from him, and then go back the opposite way. I was 12 years old when that happened, and my whole world was just I couldn't make sense of it. I was like, did that really just hit it? I've never seen somebody take a ball from somebody in the game, go back the other way. And that was just like, okay, I'm a Bama fan for life now. I was like, that was my defining moment, is definitely being a Bama fan. I was rooting for a team that did something amazing, and I was like, okay, I'm all in, even at 12 years old. But that's probably one of my most defining, one of my favorite memories of sports games. I got some more, but that one's probably the first I can remember when I really started to fall in love with sports, to see big plays, and started to really fall with a team that had a following and a culture behind it. So.
Yeah, that play, I remember now. I had the poster on my wall. And
They had a poster of it?
yeah, if you look up George
Oh, I gotta
Teague,
look that up.
the strip in the background is the Miami bench and specifically the Miami cheerleaders. And there's, I'll never, I just pulled it back up as we're talking. One of the cheerleaders in the back left shot of the frame. It's just like this. Oh no, you've got it. She sees what has just happened. And man, that was something else. We were at that game. That's the only championship game that I think I've attended in my life on that level.
I've never been one. You were at that game?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was the only Bama championship game that I've been to, and I've been to some playoff games for Major League Baseball, but what a moment.
Oh, I see the cheerleader. I see it. Just looked it up.
Yeah.
She is not happy.
I mean, Miami was pretty confident going into that game.
Oh,
I think
yeah. They talked a lot of noise.
they hadn't faced a defense like ours. Not even close.
Yeah, that receiver, Lamar Thomas, he was talking the most noise. He was one of the biggest talkers. That's why I was so excited to see that happen to him. Teague and Langham were chasing him. I remember Langham. That was Antonio Langham, George Teague. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm gonna have to order this as a poster now. Yeah.
Trey, I cannot wait till we can get together and hang out and
Oh yeah, man.
grill some steaks and a few, well, actually a few short bunts. We'll see each other again.
Oh yeah, you got the draft. Our league is the only league that I don't pay to be in. I got two other leagues I play in now, and because of y'all, I've started backing into it. The other two leagues I'm in, I've won one back-to-back years, and the other one I finished second place. This league, I just can't get it. I don't know why. I can't figure out my rhythm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because people are more competitive in this league. You think money leagues would be more competitive? But I think when people start losing, they kind of lose focus because they have money involved. They're like, well, I'm not going to win any money. But in this league, it's all about the prestige, the bragging rights,
Oh man.
and so people have more into it than just money. You don't want to be last because everybody knows each other, and you don't want to be the one la next year that everybody talks about. So maybe that's what it is.
That's right. You want your name etched on that trophy. And you want
Yes.
that trophy in your house on your mantle.
Yes.
All
This has
right,
been good, man.
Trey, this
I'm glad I took you up on your offer.
absolutely. We got to do it again. I've had Jim back. He's been on the show three times, maybe too many times. I'm gonna keep him on the shelf for a while. It's just not fair to everybody else, but definitely let's.
You should do a special edition during the draft and have like all of us just kind of do a panel. We just all talk.
All right. Well, so since you mentioned that, I do have some unreleased footage, not video, but audio. I captured some of the guys at last year's draft in August. I've still got the files on my computer. I've never once listened to them. I haven't tried. I've
Oh,
never
man.
thought about putting them out there, but maybe that'd be a bonus episode.
Yeah.
That may be
Maybe we can comment on our own audio.
Something like that is going to be not just a bonus for everybody. That's going to be, you got to unlock some doors to get to it.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Hey, Trey, anything else that you want to plug today?
No, man. I think not that I can think of right now. No, this has been a good time though.
Loved every minute of it and hope we didn't spend too much time
Yes,
on the silly stuff, but
it's good. I liked it.
I don't know where those
Enjoy
questions come
myself.
from, but
Yes.
it's good.
Yes.
So we call it Trav time 2 weeks in a row, but it's really Trey time today. But man, where else are you going to be listening to a podcast where the last two guests are not both named Travis, but it's Travi, and then you get that far into the name. This is it. Thanks for being here, Trey.
Thanks for having me.
Proud to call you a friend. To
Likewise.
have this conversation with you today was a special thrill. I'm not kidding about that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, you guys, everybody listening in the Daniverse, you've been in the Daniverse today. It's really the Treyverse. No, that's not.
I like to say Trey Day sometimes.
Yeah.
Like Dre Day, Trey
It's been Trey Day today, and
Day.
we don't want this day to end, as you can see. All right, Trey and everybody listening, it's important to, foster a good network of friends, hang on to people, get to know people. There's something to be said about years-long friendships. If you got kids, spend some time with them, goof around with them. Hope you took something from this episode, and have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday on the Dan Time Podcast. Thank you, Trey.
Thank you, Danimal.
We'll see you soon.